Welcome to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast with the team at Mach 1 Financial Group. The Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast starts now.
This is the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us this week. I'm Walter Storholt alongside Kyle Alexander, who is a retirement income planning specialist at Mach 1 Financial Group, serving you in Northwest Arkansas. And we have a great topic of conversation on the docket this week. We're talking about lazy money, Kyle. Lazy money. Trying to think of what the actual visual of like lazy, I just picture like money just teetering on the edge of a pool, you know, out suntanning, not doing any work for us. We don't want lazy money in our portfolio, right?
No, man, because I have this vision of that old Rodney Dangerfield movie, Easy Money, and that didn't go well either. So I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but it's funny.
Easy money and lazy money. We don't want either of them, right?
No, you don't. So yeah, let's talk about lazy money. So my definition of lazy money may be different than somebody else's, but the way I view it is it's money that really doesn't keep up with inflation. It just kind of sits there in the bank earning, let's just call it 0.05 or 0.07% annual rate of return. And I don't even know if that covers some of the fees on the accounts in a bank. But nevertheless, it certainly doesn't keep up with an annual pace of inflation that ranges over the past decade of 1% and 3%. I mean, it just doesn't. So that's the kind of money we're talking about. It's invested, but it's invested in such a safe way that the returns are minimal, if non-existent. And CDs really fall in this category too. So if we're thinking about CDs and checking and savings and money market funds, I mean, even the best CD I've seen advertised around is about a 20-month deal at 1.4% or 1.26%. You see them in the newspaper and maybe as you drive by some of the local banks. Not bad. A lot better than it was this time 2 years ago when they were about 0.5% or maybe 1% for a 4-year CD or something along those lines. So they have gotten a little bit better. But again, hardly keeping up with inflation in my view. So, you know, if you have a portfolio that is so conservatively invested that, you know, the return is very minimal, perhaps you've got a bunch of fixed annuities that are paying even 2.5 to 3% over a 5 or 10 year period, something along those lines, it's a challenge to even keep up with inflation, even in that type of an environment. And of course, your money won't be that liquid either. And while maybe a fixed annuity is a good piece of an overall portfolio, unless you're just ridiculously wealthy and have millions and millions of dollars and don't ever spend any money, it's just sad to see that kind of money sit there and, you know, not really get a decent return. So that's really my view of lazy money. Walter, I don't know, do you have any other thoughts about what that might look like from your perspective?
No, I think you cover it all pretty good. That, you know, lazy money can kind of take on those different forms and definitions. And I find it interesting that there is, you know, sometimes a good place to have lazy money, right? It doesn't always have to be a bad thing to have lazy money. Lazy money That's true. Emergency fund is a good thing. We don't want that money, you know, working and taking risks and that kind of thing. So you got to kind of keep it in perspective. But most of the time we're talking about lazy money, I guess, being in sort of a negative thing. Why do you think people have, you know, too much lazy money sometimes in their portfolio, Kyle?
Well, you know, you actually hit one of those key topics right on the head, which is a lot of people have to, you know, feel more comfortable, I'll put it that way, having a lot of emergency funds at their disposal. And I do see this quite often with some of our clients. They have $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 of cash sitting around in some sort of money market fund or maybe a variety of CDs and things of that nature. I read a statistic, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, in a newspaper locally that something close to $1 billion were invested in CDs in banks across Northwest Arkansas. Think about that for a minute. That's incredible. And of course, that's because people are keeping their powder dry because they're nervous for whatever reason. And a lot of times there are good reasons for being nervous. Sometimes those reasons include, you know, just being gun shy. You know, maybe they got burned in their 401k in 2008 when we had the Great Recession and, you know, the market went down almost 39% in 16 months or something like that. That's a good reason to feel nervous and to want to keep your powder dry or more money in a reserve fund or in some secure place. Other people, you know, they just don't understand how to invest effectively and take mathematical risks to get a higher rate of return. And they're just not comfortable with it because they don't understand it. And that's what financial advisors can bring to the table, is to help, you know, educate and provide a better level of understanding about your investments. Often people don't trust banks. They don't trust the market. They don't trust government. They don't trust big business. They don't trust large investment companies. There are lots of things that people don't trust because they've had bad experiences with those entities or institutions, whatever the case may be. And they probably have all valid reasons for feeling that way. But in the world we live in, it's really difficult to make a living return, so to speak, on your investments if every bit of your portfolio is in some sort of safe money investment type. So building a portfolio is really one of those things that takes a little savvy, where you have your no-risk money, your emergency funds, all those things set aside in a proper ratio or proportion of your total portfolio. And then you have other safe money that is there to help you out in a nursing home or something along those lines. And then you have your investments, your investment portion of your portfolio, where you take mathematical risks, where you understand what your downside risk looks like and what your upside potential could be mathematically if the markets behave in a rational fashion. And then you have your Vegas money. And some people don't like to have any Vegas money. Other people are okay with that. And that's something that differs by person. And that's why you have to do a risk assessment to kind of understand, you know, how much lazy money should I have in my portfolio? And that's what a risk evaluation can bring to the table to help you direct that allocation within your portfolio from lazy money to more money at risk. So I don't know. I mean, that's my opinion of why people do it that way. And and obviously there's a solution that exists too by doing just a risk assessment and having somebody to help you understand how to allocate those funds.
Well, put it in context for us, Kyle, of, you know, why we have this discussion of lazy money. And is it because it's dangerous? And if so, I mean, why is it bad to have lazy money? Because it doesn't seem like that, you know, dangerous of a thing to have money sitting in safe places.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I guess it can be
counterintuitive in ways, I guess.
yeah, it is kind of. It can be dangerous because, you know, we talked a minute ago about inflation. So if inflation is running between 1 and 3% and returns are less than that, then all of a sudden all you're doing is paying somebody fees to not keep up with inflation. That's a problem. So you're going to lose buying power over time. And even though you scrimped and saved and you worked real hard and you put all this money aside, you know, that money is eroding every day without you spending a nickel. You may still have it under the mattress or in a safe deposit box or whatever the case may be, but over time, you're going to lose buying power, and that money is not worth, frankly, as much as it was when you put it under the mattress or put it in the safe deposit box or that money market fund or whatever the case may be. So you have to do something within an environment of a portfolio that's managed properly to help you get a living return, as I like to call it. And if you don't do that, and you just see your fees going out for mediocre returns, if any returns, and you just don't see any growth in that money, then all of a sudden, you don't have much motivation to save at all. And then you're not investing. Then it becomes dangerous. Because all of a sudden, you say, well, I'm just going to live for today because I can't make any returns on safe money. So what's the point? What's the point of even trying? And that's the last thing that we or anyone who's watching out for your best interest want you to do, because it won't be long until, you know, you run out of money in retirement. And that's very challenging. And obviously in this business, we see people that face that challenge. They face it in their 80s, and there's really, you know, outside of Social Security, there's really nothing for them to land on. And it's really heartbreaking to see that. And for those people that can prepare, that are in their 30s and 40s and they're active and they're making a good wage and, you know, they're setting aside some money for the future, that's the thing to do, right? And I would encourage people to continue to do that and not roll and blow it all on things today or the off chance that you might not live to 70 or 75 or 100. That's where it becomes dangerous and certainly an unpleasant scenario for your future.
Yeah, those are all good things to point out, I think, Kyle. Take us into the offices at Mach 1 Financial Group. How do you guys help people who have too much lazy money, but they are kind of hesitant on making those changes and taking more risk and, you know, readjusting things? How do you help them sort of evaluate what the right decision is and walk them through the process?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we're really set up uniquely to try to accomplish this goal for people. And the way I like to put it is, you know, we like to find investments that limit downside risk to some mathematical equation. Now, obviously, there's no guarantees in investing, right? No guarantees in putting money in a bank either, except the FDIC. So there is an approach you can take to try to limit downside mathematically. I mentioned that earlier, and I think there's good science behind that. Again, you know, there's nothing guaranteed there. But you want to also have upside potential when you mathematically define your downside risk. And you can also get a pretty good understanding of what your upside potential looks like if you have the right investment strategies in place. So if we were able to come up with a mathematical equation that said that you likely would get something to the tune of 60 to 70% of the upside of the market when it was up, and mathematically limit your downside risk to somewhere around 10, 12%, that doesn't sound half bad, because that means that if a market's returning on average of 15% a year and you're getting, you know, 9 to 10% in that given year, that's not so bad. That's a far cry better than 3% in some sort of fixed annuity, right? And if we also said that it was possible, mathematically possible, to somehow keep your risk around 10 to 12% on the downside, then that would be compelling as well. Now, again, none of these things are guaranteed, but mathematically, you can come up with an equation with certain investment strategies that can help you attain a range of those types of returns. And that's what we do. Work really hard at that. We work really hard at finding the right types of money managers to help us achieve those goals. And again, you know, there's no guarantee there, but mathematically, you can certainly work really hard to try to come up with an equation that will work for you. And then, of course, you know, one of the things that we will do is understand the time horizon on when you're going to need money and understand the demographics of all of this. We look at demographics on a daily basis. I mean, you heard a lot of statistics earlier in our conversation around the other podcast. We were talking about the glory days. I mean, there's a lot of statistics I use there. So we try to keep on tap with those stats so we understand really the horizon of, you know, life expectancy for your typical person, and certainly the type of lifestyle that you want to live. And we also calculate your, you know, not only your longevity, but also how much money you have currently and how much money you're likely to spend in retirement, what your budget needs to look like, and how quickly your money will be depleted based on certain target interest rates of return or your overall investment return in that portfolio. So, you know, sometimes those dollars that you have saved, you're not going to need for a really long time, if at all, if the portfolio is managed correctly. You may find that with your budget and your income that you've been able to create with a proper investment plan, that by the time you die, you actually have $3 or $4 million left to give to your children or your grandkids or whatever the case may be. So it's all about planning. It's all about math. And it's all about understanding how to create a portfolio with the risk that is appropriate for you. And those things can be done. And honestly, in the end, when you're sitting around and you're age 75 and you remember those days when you were 40 or 45 and you sat down with that financial advisor the first time and hopefully they gave you good advice, you'll go, you know what? That was one of the best things I ever did, because I was less stressed in my older years. I still have money to give my grandkids, and gosh, I think I was pretty successful. And I did that with a little bit of money, a lot of hard work, and making some good decisions along the way. And that's what we try to help people do. And hopefully we can help you do that too. And if not, I certainly encourage you to find a financial advisor that you like and who will help you achieve those goals.
We're talking with Kyle Alexander about lazy money, and this was such a helpful conversation, I think, Kyle, because a lot of people do kind of have that mentality of, well, I may not be earning any money, but at least I'm not losing it. But they do lose sight of the fact that sometimes there's still some negative impacts if you have too much money sitting in, you know, and being lazy, that it can have a kind of a backfire situation on your financial plan. And we want our money to be very efficient for us and working for us, not lazy, but also not too much at risk. It's always that balancing act, isn't it?
It really is. And I'm just glad that there are people out there that take enough time and interest in their personal finances to put aside a few minutes to listen to these podcasts. And I want to thank those of you who listen to this. It means a lot to us. We're thrilled that you listen in and get some good tidbits of information that maybe you can apply to your life.
Yep. It's always helpful information, and we always enjoy talking with you, Kyle. And if you have questions about your own financial plan or want to talk about financial and retirement planning with Kyle Alexander and the team at Mach 1 Financial Group, all you have to do is call 479-876-2100 day or night. That's the number to dial and puts you in touch at the office, 479-876-2100, and online 24/7 at mach-1financial.com. That's also where you can go to listen to previous podcasts covering lots of great topics as well. mach-1financial.com. Well, Kyle, we appreciate the help on the podcast today. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to another great one next week.
That sounds great, man. I appreciate the time, Walter, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast.
Investment advisory services are offered through Coppell Advisory Solutions, LLC, doing business as Fusion Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. SEC registration is not an endorsement of the firm by the Commission and does not mean that the advisor has attained a specific level of skill or ability.